Those that are staying with me, turn to Genesis chapter 47. Let's stand and read the first 10 verses. I'll read the first verse, you read the second. Try to stay together. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds are all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen."
And And
Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee."
The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle.
And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life have been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage."
Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh.
Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to bless your word today. Bless each of us as we draw nigh to you. We pray, Lord, that your spirit will guide our hearts, that you'll draw us back into constant and effective repentance. And Lord, we'll learn to love you and you love your ways. I just pray you'd bless this meeting, and may all of us get the blessing that we need from it. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Now, Joseph comes and tells Pharaoh, "My father and my brethren are coming here." And in verse 2, he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. You remember, as we have read before, that the Egyptians did not like shepherds. They thought they were lower class. They didn't want to eat with them. They didn't want to be with them. It was sort of an abomination to them. I don't know exactly why, because he has cattle and he has herds, but that might be like slavery or something like that. At any rate, Joseph picks 5 of his brothers. He didn't take them all in. You know, you got a real big family. He took 5 of his brothers, and I imagine 5 of the most presentable. If you were picking, you know, pick and choose among your family, because you might not have a big family, but you might have some you wouldn't want to bring in. You might say, "Well, you guys tend the flocks and we'll go take care of this business for you, you know." But he took 5 of his brethren and brought them in before Pharaoh. And of course, what he's looking is that Pharaoh will bless them and give them this good land in the land of Goshen that would be good for their cattle and their herds and whatever. And so he presents 5 of his brothers to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh in verse 3 said, "What is your occupation? What do you guys do?" Well, so we're shepherds. Well, now that's gonna set him back a little bit. See, even though he is the king and really the boss and everything like that, he's not going to want to really be around these people, you know, because, like I said, it was an abomination to them. And that was also so that they would get the land of Goshen. And that's exactly what Joseph wanted. And ended up Pharaoh did the same thing and let them go to the land of Goshen. And they said in verse 4, moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come. We're not just coming down here on a visit. We're moving. We're moving all of our flocks, all of our herds, all of our kids, all of our family, everything that we got, we're going to be invested in Egypt. And so he sees this. And so they come, we pray to dwell in the land. The famine is sore in Canaan. We pray, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, your family's here, your father and your brethren are coming to thee. Land of Egypt before you. Now, wouldn't you do that? I would think that's smart. I mean, here's this guy that he's raised up and put over the land, and they've maintained themselves, and they are rich in eating because of his wisdom and the things that he does. So he's saying to Joseph, and really, it's like a gift to him for his family because of what he's done for all the land and for Pharaoh too. He said, the land's before you. Pick any place you want. Give your dad good land. It's pretty nice every once in a while to get a favor, you know. You've been doing a good job. 2 years the famine's been going and they've got grain in Egypt. The whole world of that area is trying to go to Egypt to get food to eat. And so, man, if you got a man like that, let him have a few benefits. You know the reason why you stay at a job? There are benefits to your job. Now, the reason why you change jobs, you think you're going to get better benefits. You don't always get them. But you think it. Somebody's promised you something that maybe they can't deliver. But Pharaoh could deliver, and he did. And so he tells Joseph, you give them the best of the land. You take care of your family. Sure. No telling how long Joseph's going to live as far as he's concerned. And right now he's about 32 years old, something like that. And he lives to be 110. But at any rate, Pharaoh is given this opportunity. All right, you guys want to go to Goshen? Go to Goshen. So they move down there in Goshen. Now, I don't know whether Joseph bought the land, whether he could just give it away, whether he had it, whatever. I'm not sure what the details are, but he's taking care of his family in the land of Goshen, which was a good place to raise crops and herds and what they did. And then it said, verse 7, and Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Do you know that you are blessed? The most spiritual one blesses the less spiritual one. The wise one blesses the person that's not as wise. And so here we have Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Look in your Bibles to Numbers 6, 22. Numbers 6, 22. Now this is talking about Moses, and God's talking about Aaron and Moses and the children of Israel. When he brought them out and they're in the desert. And notice what it says about blessing. Verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, isn't that beautiful? That is a beautiful, beautiful blessing. And that's what Moses is telling Aaron and the priests. The priests were of a sort of a higher category, in a sense, in the Jewish religion. And they had the opportunity to go before God for people. and they also brought God's message. And so they are going to bless these people, and God said, I want you to bless them this way. Now we're thinking about back in Genesis 47, what do we have here? We've got a heathen king, Pharaoh. He's not a believer. He's not a Jew. He's not, he probably worships the Egyptian gods, you know, all that they had. But what he's going to do, Joseph brings in Jacob, his father, sets him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blesses Pharaoh. You know what? You walk spiritual enough, you're going to bless some people you know. You're going to change some lives. Some people are going to love or hate what you teach. Just because of you. And because of what you do. Would you like to be a blessing?
Amen.
Well, it's looking at this blessing, that this is telling you how to bless. Now, when you're praying, we have a prayer meeting here every Wednesday night, and I believe we pray probably every day, and probably in this service right now, some of you are praying. Got something on your mind, and you're talking about it. Every time I get up to preach, I'm praying, Lord, make me a blessing. Lord, help me out. Help me not to be stupid. Help me not to say everything that comes into my mind to say. Help me, Lord, that I could do somebody some good. Help me, Lord, that some of them get some peace. Help me, Lord, that somebody get saved. Well, you're saved. You're born again. You have the Spirit of the living God living in you. You have a Bible in your hands that you can read in your own language, in clear language, and you know some things about it. Do you know what? You know more than most of the world knows. Have you thought about the doctrine that you get here of salvation and the Word of God and the future and heaven and hell and what's going to happen and the rapture? You're looking for the rapture. You think about all these doctrines you've got. And the idea that you have the Word of God and you believe it and say, I do believe it. That was one of the beautiful things. I don't know where I got it. I don't know. I knew that the Bible was the Word of God. Could have been my daddy, my mother, my sister. I have no idea. We had a Bible in the house. I went to Sunday school. Could have been a Sunday school teacher. Could have been a pastor sometime. But I had it in my head. This book's different. Now, I didn't read it that much. I had some verses memorized, the Beatitudes, the Ten Commandments, and some other verses, the love chapter. They taught me in Sunday school or whatever. But I wasn't really that interested in it. It wasn't interesting to me. I wasn't trying to read it. But being blessed by having the Word of God in my language, in my house, and it was approved for me to read it if I wanted to. Wow. You realize what a blessing that is?
Amen.
And he's thinking about you. You know that Jesus Christ is the Savior.
Amen.
You know that his blood paid your debt. You know that if you will be contrite and repent of your sins, God will forgive them all. How are you blessed? Do you know most of the people in the world don't know that? They don't know that. I told you about this young man, teenager, over here within a mile of the church. Never heard. He didn't have a Bible in the house. Told me he had never been in a church building. Never went to church in his life. Didn't have a Bible. I talked to him about David and Goliath. He didn't know what I was talking about. I talked to him about David and Bathsheba. He didn't know what I was talking about. He didn't know about Daniel in the lion's den. He didn't know what I was talking about. He's completely oblivious to what you know automatically because you've gotten something taught to you. That's a blessing. Can you bless anybody? You sure can. My next door neighbor, when I was in the Air Force in Roswell, New Mexico, he just got saved. He didn't know hardly anything. But he came after me. Hey, Lindell, I want you to go to church with me. Hey, Lindell, can I bring a guy out to your house? I don't know the answers, but I know a guy that does. And he brought him to my house. Can you be a blessing? You can be a blessing. You can be. You are a blessing. If you talk it all and people know what you believe and that you take a stand and you stand against drinking or gambling or whoring around and all the things that's going on in the world and the stupidity of all of television and the movies. Sure, you're entertained and I'm entertained, but you got to recognize some things are just not right. They're just not true. They're just not going to bless anybody. But you can bless somebody. You know what you can do? If you don't know how to answer, you can say, let's go talk to Brother Brian. Brother Brian, we'll make an appointment with Brother Brian. Go, we can talk to Billy. Well, we'll go talk to Danny Newman, say. We'll go talk to somebody in here that has an answer. Maybe even me, the old man. 80. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. All right. Amen. Now think about this. This is a beautiful blessing, and you just reading it, think about it. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Isn't that a nice thing to say for somebody? Isn't that a nice thing to wish for somebody? Isn't that a nice thing to pray for somebody? I want the Lord to bless you. I want the Lord to keep you. Man, when I get out driving in the car, I say, Lord, don't let me hurt anybody. Don't let anybody hurt me. Lord, bless thee and keep thee. You know, you just might lift somebody's day. What else he says? The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Ooh, you know what a blessing that is? That God would shine upon you instead of be angry with you. That God would be looking for blessing and wanting to make you happy. And hey, sunshine day. How about a spiritual sunshine day? The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. What a blessing. You're asking something really good for somebody. You didn't know how to pray before, but you know now. If you didn't know, you know now. Here's God telling him. He tells Moses, this is the way the priests bless the people. You're priests. Do you know that? You ever think about it? You think, well, I'm not a Catholic priest. I'm not a Buddhist priest. You're a priest of the living God. The Bible says when we got saved, we were made kings and priests. You know what a priest does? He speaks to God for the people. The prophet turns around and speaks from God to the people. You're a priest. You're speaking to God for these people. And can you say, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee? You might say it in more modern language. Man, I hope God gives you a good day. You might not want to use your biblical language. They might turn you off because you think, oh, you actually read that old King James Bible. We want the new modern version where God is a woman. Really? Who made the world? Mother Nature? I'm sorry, Mother Nature didn't make any of it. That's just a liberal name for God when they don't want to recognize God. It's not Mother Nature. It's God that spoke the world into existence.
Amen.
And the more you understand of it, the bigger it gets, the greater it gets, the more fascinating it gets. The Lord bless thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. Hey, you can do that. Be gracious unto thee. Wouldn't it be nice if God was gracious to you? I believe I've been blessed. I believe all my life I've been blessed. I believe God has been gracious to me. I wish you could have the blessings. God can. God does. I've talked to several old men here. I'm getting 80. I've talked to some of my friends and several old men, and I get this same picture back. I'm glad I lived when I lived. I'm glad God did what he did. I'm glad that I live in this time right now. I'm glad for... They feel blessed. I feel blessed. How about letting God bless you? Why don't you bless somebody? Why don't you wish for them? Why don't you pray for them like this? Mark these verses. Figure out where you can find them again. Don't lose them. Write something down. Dog ear a page in that old Bible. Get it worked out where you might use it up and buy a new one. Make his face to shine upon thee. Be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. You know what his countenance is? It's his face. This is my countenance. Well, I want the Lord to lift his countenance up upon you. You're miserable. You're tired. You're angry. You're hurt. You don't see any future. You don't know how they were going to make the next hour, much less the next 10 years. Well, I'll tell you what. If God makes his face to shine upon thee, and he's gracious to thee, and he lifts up his countenance upon thee, he'll give you peace. Isn't it wonderful to have peace? Amen. I've had both. I've had turmoil. I've had fear. I've had frustration. I've had disappointment. I've had pain. I've been dealing with pain in others that I can do nothing about. But you know, I've had peace. Isn't it a wonderful thing to come to a place by faith to have peace in God? You can bless somebody. You can pray for people. You can speak to people. And you can bless them. You are a priest of the living God. Don't forget it. I'm not your priest. We're all priests. We're equal in the priesthood. Man, what a blessing. Over there in Peter, in New Testament, he talks about, man, we're great people. We're priests of the living God. We're kings. We're priests. Well, think about that sometime. I know you run through life, and I know you're busy, and I know your job takes your mind, and yeah, you can give me all the excuses you want. Why don't you bless somebody? Be a blessing and do what Jacob was doing. That's what he's telling him to do. Lift up his countenance upon thee, give thee peace, and they shall put my name upon the, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I, here's God, I will bless them. I got the name of Jesus on me, and I got the blessing of God on me, and you do too. Amen. You do too. Now, we know about this, and this is way past, but it was just such, it's such a clear idea of what it means to bless. You understand? So we're coming back over, back in chapter 47, and Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? He said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. He is 50 years older than me. 45 years older than John Newman. He's an old man. 130 years? My pilgrimage. Have you thought about your pilgrimage? You're having a pilgrimage. You know what you think about a pilgrimage, you take off and go somewhere. Well, what you've been doing for the last 20 or 30 or 40 years? You've been going somewhere. You've been getting up every day going somewhere, haven't you, Nell? That's right. You got a pilgrimage. And he said, the days and the years of my pilgrimage, 130 years. Wow. Few and evil have been the years, days of the years of my life. Few and evil. I've not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers, 185. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, what did he do to him? He blessed him. Now, I know in some ways I don't like Jacob. I don't like the way he does things. But you know where his real advantage was? He looked for spiritual things. You know what he was after? He wasn't after money necessarily. He wasn't after land. He wasn't after a whole lot of things. He was after the spiritual blessing of God. Now, his brothers, twin brother, didn't care. Absolutely didn't care. Gave it away for a plate of beans. He comes in hungry, and he just trades it off. his spiritual heritage didn't mean anything to him. And if you noticed, he gave it up and God let it stand. You better be careful what you throw away. You better be careful what you don't listen to. You better be careful what you take in the Word of God. Well, I don't want that. I don't think I want to go through the trouble of that. Well, okay, you just might lose it. You might not get it. You ought to be spiritual. You ought to have a spiritual mind in you that says the spiritual is the more valuable. And it is. The spiritual is the more valuable. And so it says that Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out before him. Before Pharaoh. So this blessed man, this man that had looked for spiritual things, and he didn't get it till, I think he really got his blessing at about 40 years old. When he is going to have to meet Esau again. He's heading back home. Got four wives, 11 kids, whole lot of flocks and herds. He's a rich man. In his day, he's a rich man. And he starts wrestling with God at night. He prayed to God. The Bible puts it out like it was a fight. Wrestled with him till the breaking of day. But you know what happened after that? God, or the angel that he was dealing with, said, let me go, let me go. He said, no, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Jacob, underneath all of his scheming and all of his cheating, had a burden for spiritual things. He wanted God's blessing. He wanted God to come down on him. He wanted the answer from God, spiritual. Do you have any desire for anything spiritual? Would be a shame if you lived in a time when you could be filled with the Spirit of God, when you had the Word of God, you could have the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God, and you miss it. Wouldn't it? You dismiss it? You think it's worthless? Not worth my time? Well, let me tell you what. Spiritual knowledge is worth more than any show on television. It's worth more than the Dallas Cowboys winning. It's worth more than the Spurs. It's worth more than your guns, and it's worth more than your silver. It's worth more than your cut glass, ladies. It's worth more than your rug. It's more valuable than your kitchen. More valuable than your car. Do you ever think I would want spiritual blessings from God? I want the blessing of God upon my life. You know, well, I can't have it. Of course you can. Whoever told you you can't have it? Devil, maybe. Some stupid people that don't know the Word of God, maybe. My Bible said whosoever. Amen. That's how I got saved. Whosoever. Well, if whosoever, if I understand English right, whosoever means me. Amen. If I'll take the advantage. Well, how about the blessings? How about spiritual blessings upon your life, upon your family, upon your children, upon your heritage, upon your church? Spend a little time praying about that. Spend a little time thinking about that. Wow. Wow, I can have spiritual blessings. God will bless me. That's true. Boy, I didn't get one amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Lindell. That's good preaching. Amen. Care whether you like it or not. Pharaoh gets blessed. Verse 11. Placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded, and Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. Wow. Hey, they went into a good place. They were in a bad place. Joseph had been sent ahead by God 13 years earlier. probably about 15 by now. But now then they come in, they're in the best of the land. They got the ruler of Egypt taking care of him. The Bible calls it nourishing. They're doing all right. I want you to know Joseph's family to their deaths were just like the king's family. They were just blessed by that thing. Okay. He nourished them. And look at verse 13. We have a change thing here. Now, remember, they've stored all this grain, but they're not making any grain. It's a bad drought. We've had a few around here. There's several of them. They call them a seven-year drought. One of them was while I was dating Verlene. Always didn't have much rain. Had some, didn't have much. You never had anything interrupted by rain, hardly. You know, you could just go do what you wanted to do. It was not sort of nice. Except the lakes went down, just like they did just recently, you know. And now they're up again. Praise the Lord for all these lakes being up again. These droughts are not fun. And it says here, Joseph gathered all the money that was found in the land, in verse 14, land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, for the corn which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. Now what are the people doing? They're buying food to eat. They're in a drought. They're farmers, and they're not making any crops. They're not getting by. I mean, they're not making it. They're not even feeding themselves. So they've got to go now to Pharaoh's granaries and buy corn. So he's selling it for money. I drive up to the filling station and I give them money for gasoline. I go to HEB and I give them money for food, especially that can go in a microwave for me. I don't cook, you understand? They're buying food. Wouldn't you? That bank account that you're so proud of, it'd be gone pretty quick. It wouldn't take long. Let us get another depression like we had, or a dust bowl like we had over the 30s. Yeah, you'll be taking everything you thought you were saving for retirement or for college and spending it on food. Amen or oh me. So what does he do? He gathers up all the money, verse 14, for the corn which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. How about that? He's a pretty faithful worker, isn't he? Are you that faithful a worker? Verse 15, and when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all of the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread. So sort of like we asked the government, give us bread. We don't want to work. Give us bread. We're poor. Give us bread. You owe us bread. He said, no, I don't really owe it. Look at verse 16. Joseph said, give your cattle. He's got all the money. Here come the herds. So I'll give you your cattle if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle that year. How about that? Look at verse 18. When that year was ended, they come unto him the second year and said unto him, we will not hide it from my Lord, how that our money is spent. My Lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my Lord, but our bodies and our land. Wherefore shall we die? Because before thine eyes, both we and our land, buy us and our land for bread. First the money, then the herds. Now us and the land. Well, would you rather be a slave or you would have starved to death? Would you rather be belong to the government or starve to death? Well, they made a decision. You're buying us, and you're buying our lands. Now, here makes Pharaoh an absolute king. Wow. And you know who did it? Joseph. Joseph did it. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph brought all the land, bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. As for the people, he removed them to cities from end into the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priest bought he not, for the priest had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh, and lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. Now that's verse 24. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2. It's a principle. It's a principle God uses several times in the Word of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When Joseph was a young man growing up, he was faithful to his father. He wouldn't go along with his brothers, and he wouldn't cheat, and he wouldn't lie, he wouldn't hide things. If his daddy wanted to know the truth about his fields and his flocks and his money and his workmen, Joseph would tell him. He was faithful to his father. When he was a slave, he was faithful to Potiphar. Potiphar didn't know it. Potiphar believed his lying wife, but he was faithful to Potiphar. Potiphar had come to the place that everything in his house, he just let Joseph run it. Make a lot easier life, wouldn't it? I mean, have a good, competent workman taking care of your things, managing your thing, and he's doing well, doing better than you could do with it. Yes, sir. I mean, was Joseph faithful? Oh, yeah, he was. Potiphar believes his wife. And she's a sorry woman. Okay. Joseph ends up in prison. Now, most of us, me probably, I'd be crying every night, Lord, what am I in prison for? I don't want to be in prison. Lord, you let me down because I'm in prison. Am I right? We are whiners and complainers. You know that? And if you read the Old Testament and the children of Israel out in the wilderness and in Numbers and whatever, God hates whiners. He hates whining. He hates complaining and whining and griping about their situation. But it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He was faithful in jail. Well, they need a dream interpreted. A couple of them. One guy remembers, there was a guy down in jail a couple of years ago. He could interpret dreams. Wonder if he's still there. Yeah, he's there. They got to shave him, fix him up, put him on new clothes, bathe him. You know, the guys in prison, they didn't have television. They didn't have workout rooms. They didn't have so many hours of sunlight. Not like our prisons, not like our jails right now. That wasn't what Joseph was in. And he was running the place. They go down there, get him, they dress him up and clean him up where he's presentable to go before the Pharaoh. He interprets the dreams. And he said, you really ought to get a pretty smart man to take care of this for you. Somebody knows how to handle it. And the Pharaoh clicked and the light goes on in his head. He said, where are we going to find a smarter one? He said, will you take the job? I want you to be my manager. And in fact, I'm going to give you the whole government. Nobody moves in this land unless you say so. Wow. He's fulfilled it right here in this chapter. What did he do? He has been faithful to the job he was given to do, and he bought everything for Pharaoh. Pharaoh made him his manager, and he backed Pharaoh's move everywhere he went. Is that faithfulness? That's faithfulness. That's what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 4:2. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to the word of God that you've learned? Are you faithful to the commitment that God wants for you? Are you faithful as a witness to your family and friends? Are you faithful to the job God has for you to do? Joseph was. And boy, did God love Joseph. And man, is Joseph blessed. In 13 bad years, I just considered his college education a hard knocks. After that, he lives to be from 30 to 110. And he's top dog. I mean, he's living good for everything. So he has all these things for food. And let me see where I want to go. Sorry, I got myself in the wrong chapter. All right, he covered over everything. Now then, he makes it a new thing. He saved their lives. Everything belongs to Pharaoh. Now Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, 20%. There's your taxes. What you going to do? Pharaoh's going to supply them corn to plant. They're going to plant it and reap it. They're going to keep four-fifths for their seed to plant the next year and for their food. And Pharaoh gets his 20%. Wow. Man, the operation's paying off, businessman. Faithful man. Faithful man. And then he said, Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, verse 27. And they had possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. God said, I'm going to take you down into the land of Egypt. And when I bring you out, you're going to be a great nation. You may not like the way God works. There's a thought. Have you ever learned to love the ways of God? They're not our ways. We don't like His ways. We want our ways. But it's the ways of God. You need to learn to worship the ways of God. Well, this is what God's doing. All right. Then he said, he was, verse 28, Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years, and the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. I don't understand about taking shoes off. I don't understand in places like spitting in the hand and shaking hands to make it a contract. That makes it legal. Because you do. We've got all sorts of things, and what we're reading about was something that was normal in this place at this time. So he said, now put your hand under my thigh. So he puts his hand there and holds his daddy's leg. Bury me not in Egypt. Bury me not in Egypt. I will lie with my fathers. Thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. He said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me. And he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon his bed's head. Bury me not in Egypt. And Jacob's going to get what he wants. Remember when I was talking about him wrestling with God at night and he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. God changed his name. He said, you're no longer Jacob, heel catcher. You're Israel, a prince of God. With power with God and power with man. Now, here's the story of a scoundrel, of a liar, a cheat. But what was his saving thing? He wanted spiritual things. What difference does a little beans make? What difference does a little piece of land make? Really, we live for so many things that are worthless. And we ignore spiritual things, things that are going to count for eternity. You have no idea what your investment in missions or investment in the gospel right now is going to do for you in eternity. Boy, some people are going to be blessed because they invested. They invested in heavenly things. You said, I don't want to invest in that. I don't want to invest in somebody going to some other country, living on a vacation in an exotic land. Yeah, I understand. I understand. But you're missing the point. The spiritual is what's valuable. Physically, hey, I like being healthy. I like not hurting. I like enjoying life, and I do. But you know something? One of these days, I'm going to lay my head on the pillow, and like that pastor over there in Poland, I'm just going to wake up and say, hello, Lord. And the best things I've ever had here would be almost like nothing. It's going to be beautiful. Preach on heaven. Heaven's something good to preach on. Well, I enjoyed myself. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun. God bless you.